You're here.
Donated.
You know, I was talking to somebody, our mutual friend.
Uh-huh. We'll call him, what's his initial?
K.
Okay. Okay. Ken. Oh, Ken. Okay, yes. Yeah. I haven't seen him in a while. I haven't talked to K in years.
Oh, okay.
But I'd like to. I just don't know. How's the best way to get a hold of him? See, we haven't seen each other for a while, so there's some personal sort of like minute details to get out of the way that make it in the way of good podcasting.
Well, I was telling him.
Where's Kay?
I was telling him basically.
Why are we calling him Kay?
I don't know. I was telling Ken basically that I don't know if he's listened to the podcast or not, but I was describing to him via texts how our relationship, you and I, our relationship is
blossomed.
And I basically said it always, no matter what the conversation, it will always devolve into all caps. All caps texts back and
yelling.
Forth. Yeah. Yelling.
Some text yelling.
That is basically, I believe, the dynamic. People should know this about us. Off the podcast, we relate to each other in what starts off with, it ends with all caps. Let's put it that way, right? Do I initiate the all caps?
I think so. I think you start it. And then I continue it. And
just, you know, I'm not going to like throw you under the bus. I think we both drive each other nuts.
Oh, you don't mean to throw me under the bus?
No, I included myself in the fact that, you know, you drive me crazy and I drive you crazy. And that's the dynamic of our relationship off the podcast. And people should know that the reason that there's been so many guests, which originally this was just supposed to be you and I.
I don't know if it was always supposed to be.
Yeah,
really,
but the moment we started getting people in here, we realized, wow, this is a way to prolong the podcast in our relationship, our friendship.
Wow, today. You're really keeping it real today. I feel like we're on documentary too.
So should we start? Because this is the first Q&A.
Unusable. Oh yeah, we're doing the first Q&A. And do you have your Twitter on?
No.
I'm going to go turn my Twitter on just in case we have more.
Okay.
And I'll check back at it periodically without bringing it closer to the
podcast. Let's do that. So without further ado, let's start. The Daniel Jones Podcast is the best around. They play to get his tickets, go out to love for free. I'm so glad I like to sometimes.
Get me in from fucked up. Stop playing. Hang down, down. Nick Flanagan sometimes joins Danko and co-hosts the podcast, and it's a real treat listening to Nick and Danko banter back and forth. I'm a huge fan of Nick's old punk bands, the Brutal Knights and Teen Crud Combo, and I've seen his stand-up comedy several times as well, and he is really funny.
It's the one and only, your boy, Danko Jones.
Nick had the great idea to throw out questions, like get people to ask us questions via Twitter. So we did that yesterday, and we've got quite a few, and we're going to try and get through every one of them. The first person who chimed in is actually a friend of ours, and it's Greg Ipp, right?
Greg Ipp.
Are you familiar and Unlovable?
Yes, he no longer owns Unlovable. In fact, he lives in Los Angeles. I saw him when I was in Los Angeles. We ate at a French-style restaurant on Vermont Street in Los Feliz.
Greg is, I like Greg a lot.
He's a good guy.
I guess we had mutual friends on Facebook, and I think it started how I met Greg was we were arguing with each other.
Yeah.
And that mutual person said, actually, the two of you guys would get along.
Yeah, you guys actually have a very similar sort of combination of...
Here we go.
Sort of masculinity and femininity.
I do like Greg a lot. I think Greg's a cool guy, and
I think we were talking about you actually when we were out in LA.
Okay, and now we're talking about him in Toronto.
Positively, yeah. So it's paying it forward. Yeah, it was all just about I think mainly frustration with the Canadian music apparatus.
Frustration, yeah.
Just frustration. Just that
would just about. Yeah, it sounds like a discussion that involves me and Greg.
So what did he ask?
He asked, in a life or death situation, which one of you would be first to sacrifice the other for their own safety?
I think it would be...
That's a good question, by the way.
My answer, I think that we would probably at the same moment attempt to murder the other. But you might hesitate because you'd be like looking around a bit longer. Whereas I would just... or maybe, you know what I would do?
You're more impulsive.
Here's what I would do. This is actually the best answer. Instead of murdering the other to save yourself, I would actually just kill myself before you had a chance to murder me.
Look at you taking the noble route.
I don't know. That's I would still die, and then you would still die. I'm still killing you.
Makes me want to say that, yeah, no, just from that answer, I'll kill you first.
Okay. All right. Let's get it going. Thunderdome.
Okay. The second question was from Roger Serpa at Tuffy Rocks is his handle. And
the answer is Souls of Mischief 93 till infinity.
No. It's a Rob Ford question.
Oh, okay, sorry.
There's a spelling typo.
Of course.
He said Rod Ford.
Rod Ford.
Sometimes sorry, like Roger, I didn't mean to point that out, but I prefer Rod Ford. Rod Ford was mayor, wherever you are, Rod, we want you as mayor instead
Rod
of Rob
sounds
Ford.
Sounds kind of like a robot a little bit.
Yeah.
So I like that.
He says, great mayor or greatest mayor of Toronto? So obviously, hopefully, a sarcastic question, knowing the amount of tweets I've thrown out about Rob Ford. Here's the thing about it. We've talked about Rob Ford on this podcast, unbeknownst to the listeners. I've just edited it out because up until, I guess, last fall, the Rob Ford fiasco, the Rob Ford mayor fiasco, was a regional issue. You know, and people in, you know, Europe or people in America didn't really care about Toronto municipal politics. But when the crack thing happened and now, you know, the Daily Show picked up on
Chelsea all lately, the succeeding sort of gaffes, whatever you want to call
when it.
When
it became Entertainment Tonight fodder, you know, I started chiming in on Twitter and, you know, including the Rob Ford thing a little bit more. We've had discussions about Ford on this podcast. I just had to edit it out.
But now we can get into it, finally.
Okay.
Let's.
Without going off the rails, no pun intended, I feel that...
Cocaine.
I hope to God Toronto doesn't vote him back in as a goof.
I will say, memorable, Mayor.
Memorable indeed.
I think he has actually helped devalue a city that was like kind of getting way better, and now it feels really all messed up again.
Yeah.
So, you know,
there you go.
But on the other hand, you know, he's willing to please his wife in a way that a lot of men are afraid to. So that's good. And, you know, that probably has a lot to do with the drugs, frankly.
Let's leave it at that. All right. Next one. Antagonist Radio at Antagonist Radio. Twitter asks, will there be any chances of a Brutal Knights reunion and a potential record? Brutal Knights is your old band.
Yes.
And obviously, this is from your retweet of my tweet.
Yes. This was one of the only questions relating directly to me. Made me feel good. Is there going to be a Brutal Knights reunion?
Nothing to do with the podcast. This has nothing to do with the podcast.
We didn't really get any questions about the podcast specifically.
Not podcast related.
Nobody has really...
What was in the question?
A couple of people have actually made some reference to the podcast, which makes you really happy. You know, like listening to it. A lot of people, after the Damien one, after certain ones, but...
Yeah. Well, is there going to be a Brutal Knights reunion?
Is there going to be a Brutal Knights reunion? I would imagine at some point we'll play another show together because...
How about a record is the other half of the question.
I think if we did anything, and I mean, right now there's definitely never been anywhere near a discussion of that. You know, Matthew has a band, our old bass player. Katie is Thirsty and Miserable and hasn't really played music for a while. She owns this bar called Thirsty and Miserable in Toronto, and you should go if you're in town. It has lots of European beers, so if any of our European listeners are listening right now, they can go to Thirsty and Miserable and drink one of their country beers. Anyway, and John
Way Sharon to not keep it regional.
John Sharon has two bands, Valley Boys and Hassler. And then I also, beyond, you know, a pretty busy schedule, I guess, I have a band called Wrong Hole. So the idea of us getting together and writing an album would be hard to picture. That being said, I did kind of like our last record the best, and the way that we wrote it was the most remotely. However, we are a broken up band, so I couldn't see getting together and putting out a record.
So no is your answer.
Yeah, but a reunion, like a one-off show or a couple of shows in a couple of places, I could see it.
Brad Barton, at Brad Barton on Twitter, asks both of us, what happened to the fedora? I guess he means in my band.
Well, I just think it fell out of fashion in general. I mean, he's not really necessarily asking about your band. I think he's probably asking more about, like, you know, the swinger movement.
Well, then how about
swing dance movement?
No.
Like,
what happened to the fedora? Like, yeah. What happened to the
what
step?
Did happen to your fedora? Why no more
I brought
fedora?
It back. I brought it back 2 years ago. Brought it on tour. Left it on the plane back home. So after that, I kind of was like, man, I've done this too many times before. And the only reason why I leave it on the plane is by the time you land, I'm so bagged and I just want to get home. I don't even disoriented. It's happened before. So it might come back and there's no like stance on it. It's more of a convenience for me.
Can't you just package it and like put it in, you know, your luggage or something?
No, no. Those are quite pricey and I'd
get
much rather
box.
Carry it. It's such a, it, to be honest with you, here's a real answer. It's a pain in the ass to carry and to when you're on tour, just because it's a high end hat. It's not some schlocky, you know, $10 Halloween hat.
So every time you lose it, you're basically losing a chunk of money and you're going,
yeah,
this is really annoying.
Yeah, basically. So that's what happened, but I haven't ruled it out. So there we go.
Is your next album called Da Fedora's Back?
All right. So moving on, Steven Skinner, at Skinner Steven on Twitter, says, what was it like on the famed Shticky set?
Oh, another question for me. This is going great. Thank you, Steven. What was it like? Shticky set was great. I really had a great time working with Vince and his team. And he's the person who does ShamWow and Slapchop, and he was really nice, and there was a lot of interesting people cast in it. There was the head of the BIA in the neighborhood I live in, like Dundas West, is actually in the commercial, and there's a lot of jokey stuff, and it's kind of cool. I don't know, the fact that there's a minute-long version where I get to be kind of weird and funny was nice, and it was definitely a good experience. It was probably the biggest, I think it was the first commercial I got, maybe, you know. It was one of my first times I felt, oh wow, this is what like a good audition is. And then it was also for the Sham, you know, for the guy I knew from ShamWow. The first time I walked into the audition for that, it was just like, it felt like I was being pranked. I was, you know, because you walk into a room and it's like, hey, how's it going? It's Vince. And you're just like, okay. It's like, try to sell me a product. And then basically put on the voice I just used and was like, hey, the Lind Roller, it's really good. You got to buy it. And he was like, I like that. I like it. And here you go. Months later and I'm rich.
Okay, so McCollum, at Matt Collum, he asks, thoughts on Kailessa, the band Kailessa, I'm assuming. Well, thoughts on Kailessa. Well, I like him a lot.
I saw him live once. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
We played with him once in 07, I think, maybe.
Right.
06, 07. They're great. We played with them in Baroness. That was.
I saw them in the South. I saw them during South by Southwest, I think.
Yeah, they're a great band.
Yeah.
The next one is Chris Richard at X Tinctor. He asks, since you were on an Annihilator LP, will Waters be on one of yours? Actually, I've been on two Annihilator albums. I was on the metal one, which featured a lot of guitar players from, I think it was 07 that came out. And I sang a song called Couple Suicide with Angela from, well, now she's ex of Arch Enemy. She just left. And
is she the singer?
Yeah. So her and I, we sang a song together for Jeff. During the metal sessions, I did actually two songs. And of course, Couple Suicide was used for metal. Then Jeff put out the self-titled album 3 years later. And then just last year, he put out Feast. Annihilator released Feast. And Jeff included the second song I did way back in 07 called Wrapped. So that is actually on the new Annihilator album, Feast. Is he going to be on one of ours? Not sure. It just depends on if whatever song we write needs a blistering guitar solo. But we'll see. You never know. So there, I hope that answers your question. The next question is from Aaron Brophy, who you know.
Respected writer.
Yes. And my old editor at Huffington Post.
Chart Attack guy.
Yep. Where should I buy bagels now that the neighborhood What a Bagel store has closed down?
Again, we're getting very local here.
Hashtag personal crisis.
It is a personal crisis.
What's the best bagel place in Toronto?
Well, I want to broaden this slightly and just say the Toronto bagel is its own thing. It's really great. It's like not as insanely dense as a New York bagel. And it's not just like a disguised sugar water wafer like what the Montreal one is, which is really tasty, but it's its own thing. Toronto bagel is great for sandwiches. Now, that being said, What a Bagel, not even the best place to get a bagel, I would say, in Toronto. I would say people really speak very well of Greif's. They're very big fans of Greif's. And then there's also, I'm kind of blanking on another very famous one that's sort of the competitor to Greif's in Toronto. There's a place in Kensington Market that's not even, like, I don't think it's owned by Jewish people. I think it's sort of a weird fusion kind of bagel, but it's really good. It's called New Bagel, and it's a really good bagel. So New Bagel is actually a very good downtown one. Greif's is a really good place if you need to go get a bagel anywhere. If you want to get the best bagel, get the most famous bagel. And then there's also, I think Wonder Bread does make bagels, and it's probably pretty interesting. What do you think is the best bagel? How do you feel about What a Bagel? What a Bagel varies by location, I would say.
I really have no opinion on this.
You're not a bagel guy?
I'm a bagel guy as much as I'm a bread guy. I mean,
they're totally different.
Yeah.
You can't put cream cheese on bread. That's crazy. You can't.
Can we move on?
Why? This is, we could just do a bagel podcast if you wanted to.
But I don't, though. That's the thing.
One of the biggest affronts in the bagel world was when, in Canada, was when there was just that franchise called the Great Canadian Bagel. Not a great bagel. And also kind of offensive that it's just the idea of a Canadian, the Great Canadian Bagel. Come on. The Great Gentile Bagel. We should just call it that. The Great Gentile Bagel. Harvard Bakery, that has a really great Twister bagel, which are the jumbo Twisters. Those are great. With poppy seed. I can keep going. I want to keep going. So Aaron, to answer your question, I would say that if you're in the area you're at, where you are, I would say you should probably just head a bit further west and go to Greif's.
Wow, holy smokes. All right, this is actually a really good question here by Nikki. And her Twitter handle is @eatks. And she says, can you give three pieces of real advice to folks that want to start podcasting?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was a good question. And then somebody said she has a good podcast.
Yeah, nice. That's right.
There was this really positive back and forth.
And yeah, then someone said, and the person who said that was actually Roa Sendar. God, I hope I'm saying that right. Have you heard Nikki's show? Everything and the Kitchen Sink is the name of her podcast or show. I highly recommend it. So Nikki has her own show or podcast, and then she's just asking us three pieces of real advice to folks that want to start podcasting. Do you have any?
Well,
we're not the experts.
I would say no, definitely not. You know, I kind of just come in and babble. But I would say from witnessing, you know, your end of things, which is more of the real sort of nuts and bolts of making the podcast, it would seem don't be afraid to edit the podcast.
First of all, these are the rules that I adhere to. I am whoever guest decides to show up on the podcast, that is I have a certain immediate allegiance to that person. So I'm not going to throw them under the bus. And I'm not gonna betray their trust. So, because there's been some things that have been uttered here during the podcast that, should remain private, and so they have.
I've cut the whole one with Damien. That one, the last one I listened to, I was like saying there was like a lot of names being bandied about.
But I felt that the bigger story was relatable. That's why I kept it. When it gets into the minutia of like a local scene that's two generations old that right. we're talking about, that can get a little disorienting and alienating and boring. So I cut all that shit out.
I think with ours, it's like, it's a bit more bite size, you know, it's kind of surgical slightly. So,
you know, how long can you drag someone through our podcast? I also feel that, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's like a very funny
Canadian. Is it
I want to, you know, sometimes Canadian? I feel like when I accuse Canadians or even get more regional and say, oh, people from Toronto, I feel a little weird because I'm it's actually, it's more of a personality type or something. But there is this idea that you don't want to impose, you don't want to overstay yeah. your thing. It's the idea when I do a stand-up set, most of the time, I'm really keeping to my time, or I try to, because I just don't want to go over. And because we've all been at shows, and in our head are just like, why isn't this over? Why is this person taking a moment of liberty with my time? But I would say this rule, it's almost rule number one, is just sound quality. It sounds a little trite this many years into podcasting to say it, but it's like, basically it's like the less famous you are, the higher the quality should probably be, right? Because
yeah.
that's just going to make a big difference for people listening. Yeah.
Okay. Is that three? Chris Bozeman.
Yeah.
Chris Bozeman. What he asks, what are your favorite new bands/albums? And then favorite new or newer movies?
Oh, okay. That's kind of a cool question. Well, what have you been listening to / hearing lately?
My God. You know, I'm so bad at this kind of question.
Well, yeah, because your brain blanks. I'll tell you this. Just today, a rapper, you know, I'm a big Earl Sweatshirt fan, I think, but I don't know if I could call him new anymore, you know. But his record Doris was really good. And the guy Vince Staples.
Well, new for you. I mean,
I've been a fan since he appeared with those... the crazy video where he was like bleeding and the Earl stuff, the earliest Odd Future stuff. And I do think he's the most like fully realized Odd Future member. And I loved Doris and I thought it was great. But Vince Staples on Doris, who's a rapper, super West Coast style, has put out two mixtapes. And those are really, 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 really good. Really good. Really good West Coast young rap. Yeah.
I would say for me, it would be a band from Italy mm-hmm. called Judah.
Oh, Guida.
Yeah.
My friend Lavi is, I don't know if she's involved with booking them or something. She is always talking about that band. She freaks out.
They are, I would have to say, I said this on Twitter and then I kind of got a bunch of like Judah fans like tweeting at me pictures and all. It's like,
yeah, no, I think they have a rabid fan base.
Yeah, I don't need to know that. I don't need a live shot of them on my Twitter feed. I gotcha. Yeah, we're fans.
Italy is passionate.
Yeah, I mean, but anyways, the band is probably my favorite band right now. I listen to them every day.
Wow, maybe I should check these guys
out. And they're amazing. And I would also say a Toronto band.
Which band?
Mets? Midnight Malice.
Midnight Malice?
Yeah, I like them a lot. Those are the only two that come to mind immediately. I'm sure I can think of like five or six other ones after the fact.
But. I'm trying to think of bands here because it's a little, I mean, I listen to a lot of rap, you know?
Well, I mean, whatever it is, I don't think it's, even though he says new bands, I mean, whatever.
I'm gonna,
music.
I finally, my friend Andrew, who's in Wrong Hole with me, is also in a band called Comic Control, and they just debuted with Chad Ross. And they debuted a song on the AV Club from their new record. I thought that was really good, you know. Band called Anxiety from Toronto, that's an all-girl punk band. I watched some live footage of them. That was like really, I was really into that. And
the new Marty Friedman album I keep listening to. Mm. I'm on it, but it's actually, I don't listen to my tracks. I listen to all the other ones.
Pusha T record is actually really great. I would say it's definitely better than the most recent Clips album. And it's, I think he did one more record. It's definitely better than that. Yeah, there's, I'm just, there's so many things. It's weird. I get so into rap, but that's like, but I also really love that lo-fi and the punk and hardcore stuff. But I especially like the garage and punk stuff these days. It's just, I haven't really been in the mix with it so much, or I'm blanking completely. You know?
I'm blanking. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be three or four. I mean,
movie wise though, I've been catching up on some movies, you know, okay. and I thought Nebraska was really good.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh my God. Yeah, some really, really amazing performances.
If you throw out some titles, I cannot for the life of me.
Wolf of Wall Street, I saw that.
I haven't seen that. But
it's
that
okay.
Reminds me of American Hustle.
Which I didn't see.
I liked it. It was okay. But I thought What's-Her-Face was... I'm incredibly attracted to her. Amy Adams.
Oh yeah, Amy Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's been great in a few different movies. She's very attractive, but also a good actress. Isn't that the thing about her?
Oh, Paul Bearer. That's another band.
Oh.
The Paul Bearer album is amazing. Jesus. I think I can't remember. But you know, this kind of question shit comes out.
I love talking about this kind of stuff. Yeah. And movies especially,
you just gotta ask.
I've just seen so many lately.
Yeah, it's just, I can't.
And then you have TV. TV kind of is movies now. So yeah. Because it's almost like a 12-hour movie. So like Game of Thrones.
Vikings? Do you watch Vikings?
I've heard about Vikings. It sounds like Vikings might be a little sillier than Game of Thrones, you know? So I'm dubious. And less fantasy-oriented. These are things I don't really want. Or like maybe more fantasy in a bad way where there's gonna be like gnomes or something. I don't want your gnomes.
Way to give a TV review of a show you've never seen.
Here's my review of Vikings. It might have gnomes. Not interested.
Also, here's my review of
not
Happy
sure
Days.
Why it might have gnomes.
Here's
no
my review
idea.
Of Happy Days. I don't know. Too many gangs involved. Too many greasers. Okay, so I hope that answers.
You like Vikings, though?
I do, but mainly because I have a huge crush on Catherine Winnick, who's from Toronto.
Yeah, so I mean.
So there you go. Okay, so Roa or R-O-A. Oh, it's no Roar. Sorry, it's Roar Sendar.
Roar Sendar.
But his Twitter handle is Roa Sendar.
There you go.
I don't know. Anyways, what in your mind is the best thing to have happened that came from having your podcast? That's a great question.
Good question. Free headphones?
From Skull Candy?
Yeah, that's always been nice.
Blue mic microphones?
Vans. Some free vans. Can I get more vans? My vans have sort of gotten weathered and beaten up.
For me, I would say getting to spend a whole day with Scott Thompson from the Kids in the Hall.
That was so fun. Yeah.
He came over to my place and we did the longest podcast we've ever recorded. And after that, we spent a lot of time together just having late lunch, and then we drove him home, and it was a great day. The day was over by then. It was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We started at 11 o'clock or something. So we spent the whole day with Scott. That was one of the most memorable moments.
But I think that's another just really nice thing about doing a podcast like this. Or I've met, you know, like Wade McNeil, I got to know better, and George Pettit. Damien is a hard person to... It's hard to see people, you know, when you hit a certain
age. He's super busy.
Everyone's busy. So, you know, getting to hang out with Damien and is really nice, even though I guess I gave him a hard time on the last podcast. Someone was, like, mentioning that at some point.
The podcast we did with Sam Dunn,
Right, yeah.
You know, yeah. who just actually recently released or is about to release the Alice Cooper doc that he did.
Oh, yeah. He was just starting on that
one. Yeah, he was just doing a movie on Satan, too. And he had just finished the Metal TV series, I think, when we went to his place of work, which is this house that his production company run out of.
Pretty sweet headquarters.
But what happened afterwards was I think one of the people working there also moonlights on a CBC show, which is the George Strombolopoulos show.
Right.
And reached out to our people. And I got to be on George's show talking about Jimi Hendrix. And I think it was because they saw the two of us there in the offices. So that's something that, you know, was never even planned and just happened. So that's nice when that kind of shit happens. But once again, never planned. I don't do this podcast to get paid, or people think that I do this podcast because I want another stream of work or that I'm trying to make a play for radio. Honestly, that's the furthest thing from my mind. I just want to do this. It's fun.
And I also enjoy it and have a lot of free time. I don't actually. It's a good time. I like podcasting. I want to podcast more.
All right. Anyways, so the next one is, why did you never play a Kiss cover? I guess that's related to my band. And then he goes, related to a zillion podcasts, meaning even though this is not a podcast-related question,
I mean,
it relates to the podcast. Okay,
I think Kiss relates to the podcast. You bring it up enough.
Yeah, and my answer to that is, it's like doing, for me as a Kiss fan, it's like doing Stairway to Heaven. Like you can't really top what I consider to be, you know, the best version of whatever song it was when it comes to Kiss. That's just because I'm a super Kiss fan. I'd love to do a Kiss cover. I haven't really ruled that out, having said that. But who knows? Whatever, you know, who knows? And then I'm going to save the best for last. Two questions from Phil from Sacred Reich. The singer of Sacred Reich he was the last person to chime in here.
Yeah.
Last minute. He asked two questions. The first one was, if you were a bird, what kind would you want to be? Which is a great question.
If I were a bird, okay. You can't say owl.
I was going to say you would say owl.
No, I can't say owl. I want to say owl, but what would you be?
You would be a pigeon, maybe? Shitting?
No pigeons.
I'd be like, shitting on the city?
I'd be like the worst. Yeah, I'd just be like a pigeon that shits on it. No, I think I'd be like a exotic cormorant.
Wow. How about a condor?
I mean, that's
what I'd be a condor.
You'd be a condor.
I guess so.
Would you be like, I'd just be Sam the Eagle.
I would say Hawk because I liked Hawkman growing up. But maybe a condor. And then I would say, is pterodactyls aren't.
I think you would be. Birds. I mean, dinosaurs are related to birds, so I guess you could just pick a dinosaur.
How about an ostrich? Is an ostrich a bird that can't fly, right?
Yeah. Ostrich, emu, those are birds. Kestrels, those are all birds.
Maybe an ostrich, just because, you know, I want to fly. I will fly despite my setbacks.
But ostriches don't fly. So I know, you'd want to pick like a bird that doesn't.
But I'm the ostrich that flies.
Do penguins? Okay, you're the flying ostrich.
I'm trying to turn this into a witty answer, and it's just not going anywhere.
Roadrunner is, I think, in that family, so that's a pretty cool bird to be.
I can't believe this. I can't wait to write the iTunes description for this podcast. Listen to Nick Flanagan and Danko talk about birds. Okay, and Phil's last question is, if you could attend one concert, what would it be? And I remember you answered him on Twitter asking,
How many bands can be on this bill?
And is it any era?
AIDS benefit. That's my answer.
Okay.
No. That's the answer of a better man than me.
Okay, what would your real answer be? Drake?
I'd love to. I've never seen Drake. Like to see Drake.
Drake, the record company showcase show.
Yeah, like a television station's rap party where they're having Drake on. No, this is a really good question. Having seen Guar, I might say Guar again, you know, now given that Odorous is no longer with us. So Guar would be amazing. Guar was one of the best concerts of my life.
Okay.
Really life-changing. However, maybe I shouldn't go with something that I've seen already, you know.
Maybe Phil is leading this question.
Sacred Reich.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is Sacred Reich.
Which was one of my favorite concerts I've ever been to. Sacred Reich, Sepultura. Sick of It All, Napalm Death.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's a pretty amazing lineup. Yeah. But I would say, obviously, maybe it's Ride the Lightning with Cliff era or Love Gun Kiss era.
Yeah, I would do...
Those would be my favorite.
Maybe Neil Young is always good. Just Neil Young... Doing an acoustic, an hour acoustic set.
The Massey Hall Neil Young?
Like an hour Massey Hall acoustic Neil Young would be pretty amazing. Because I like it when he does electric, obviously, but it's sort of more ragged than the other. The acoustic stuff is all, like, very personal. I'm still not really hitting what, I feel like I'm not at my favorite stuff I want to see, though. You know? Richard Pryor. Live, 1978.
He did say one concert. He didn't say music concert. Yeah,
so maybe Richard Pryor in 78. Steve Martin in like 1981.
Ooh, oh, that would be on my top five for sure.
Although the thing about seeing Steve Martin would be you'd know it so well. You know, he was very unlikely diverging from any of the material.
How do you know that?
I think that most of the material that exists is most of the material that he's done. I mean...
I saw a 60-minute story on him, and they showed clips from... Whatever he was doing live when he was still doing stand-up from, I want to say late 80s, early 90s when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing stuff that was never
actually, was now never that I think released. Of it, I'd read that book and he was describing doing things that I hadn't seen or heard because they were more visual. So
yeah. The only Steve Martin you can get really now is like his Twitter feed and his books. Mm-hmm. Some of his books that he's written are pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess that would be the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer to the bigger question is yes, we should have guests on this podcast.
The big question for the whole show is, will this be a released podcast? Will this make it to air?
Which reminds me, and maybe, oh man, I'd love to play a clip from the aborted Nick Flanagan podcast. Can you help me?
is that it's called Can You Help Me?
Was Did it? We settle on help a name? Me.
Help me. Help me comedy.
Nick said to me, I want to do my own podcast. And I go, okay, come over and I will engineer it.
Yeah.
And so for the first episode, he brought over Tim Gilbert, who is a funny man.
Yeah.
And so the two of you were here, and I was engineering it. And the premise of the podcast was each guest gives you advice.
Right.
But it turned out, it turned into a tag team between me and Tim
attacking,
assassinating you.
Yeah.
To the point where afterwards, I think I texted you saying, you shouldn't release this.
Yeah.
Now I think maybe you should. We should listen to it.
Give it a listen. It's weird. You know, I have a slight problem where I'm not really that different than a normal person, but I'm more aware.
What?
Were
we giving you advice as much as...
No, I think you were telling me about bad things I do. Rather than giving me advice.
Well, in a way, it's like, here are the bad traits. Stop it. That was the advice.
They were like, don't be late. I was on time today.
You were, okay, I got to say, you were on time.
Mm-hmm.
The idea to do the Q&A was yours, and that was a good one. Let's see if it turned out that way.
Initially a good idea, possibly.
But the Q&A idea is only as good as the questions were given.
Ooh.
So thanks for contributing to this below par podcast.
Here's a thing.
So you have a rock band album coming out?
This is certainly not a coached question coming from you. That was very...
So your band Wrong Hole is putting out a record on Bandcamp?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, sorry. We are actually... We are going to self-release it digitally. I guess we'll do it on IOTA. It might be through the Teen Anger, or sorry, the Telephone Explosion sort of iTunes world. But it's going to be called 2012. We recorded it at the end of last year. It's got a really good back cover. It's a tribute to Crystal Castles. And front cover, which is by Emily Bits. And it's going to be out on Pleasance Records. Check this out. This is a lot of labels. In Europe, it will be released on Pleasance. Oh, sorry. In Europe, it will be released on P-Trash/Cut the Cord/Prugel Prinz. It's a three-label co-release. Not that rare. That's what it's coming out with in Europe. And then Pleasance will be putting it out on LP. That's all on LP in North America. But it will be available on iTunes in, like, June. And, yeah, this is boring, right?
No.
You're making these faces.
Like, no, I'm not.
Just saying a bunch of... So somehow we have an album coming out, even though we've played 11 shows.
And then your comedy album?
I don't have a name for that. What should I call the album? Do you have any suggestions? It's really torturing me lately.
Second comedy album.
Ooh. Second comedying. Like Second Coming?
Nah.
Second Cummings.
Comedy. Second comedy, comedy album.
Ooh, comedy and effect.
It would be great if we can actually hatch the title of the album on the podcast.
Symphony of Laughs.
And then people know. Will at least, it'll be interesting to listen to this because this is where you can hear the genesis of the...
I'm really trying. I wanted to call it Doom and Gloom, you know?
That's a great title.
You like Doom and Gloom?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of calling it Doom and Gloom.
Doom and Gloom comedy or Doom and Gloom?
Doom and Gloom.
Doom and Gloom. How about like Doom and Gloom stand-up comedy?
Or Dumb and Gloom. Good too.
Yeah. But Dumb and Glummer.
Glum and Glummer.
Doom and Gloomer.
Gloomer. Rumors. Rumors. I should just call it Rumors.
And then the cover should be two of you.
Right.
The two of you.
I actually kind of like that. I could just call it Tumors, but it's like the cover is like Rumors. Or Humors.
That's good.
I actually think I've hit on the title of the album.
Okay.
It's going to be called Humors.
You can't go back on this movie.
And it's going to be the Canadian spelling, and or it's going to be the spelling that matches.
Well, how do Fleetman Mac do it?
Oh, my God. That being said, I did the two recordings. I did one 30-minute recording, one 45-minute recording. I think you were at the 45-minute one that I did a comedy bar. I'm going to do a third taping for safety now. I've decided. A safety taping.
Oh.
Just to see what happens.
All right. Like a crazy take.
May 24th. I'm going to go to this place, the Underground Comedy Club, which is a 420-friendly venue. You've been there. You've seen it. I opened for Duncan Trussell there. And I opened for Scott Thompson there. And also a guy named Alan Park. And I've performed there a million times.
But, Nick, do I have your word?
Oh, yeah. This is the title now.
Humors is the name of your second album.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we hatched it on the podcast.
This is going to be so great.
Amazing. This was like a brainstorm session.
Yeah, that was a really good, really quick. Because I have had the hardest time coming up with the title for it. And also, making it wordplay, having it be fun, you know, that was all very difficult, you know. And I didn't really want to make it totally similar to the other one, which is I'm Here All Week. Because... you always have to go spell W-E-A-K. But now it's just called Humors. That's easy.
Perfect.
Wow.
Will you have a ponytail?
Yeah, probably. I think we're going to... I'm pretty sure... We might just copy the...
Are you going to have a beard?
Yeah, probably.
Mick Fleetwood?
Yeah, and I have a patchy beard right now. I think we brought that up. I have the beard patches, so I've got to...
Just make sure they can see that it's the both... It is going to be the both of you on the cover, right?
Probably we'll do it like when I did the Guilty Pleasures cover and it was two of me.
Yeah.
Unless we can get it to be like a huge celebrity as the other woman or actually Stevie Nicks. Is she on the cover?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
I'm fucking hungry.
Me too. I'm so hungry.
Let's go.
Where are we going to eat?
We'll figure that out.
Good night.
Who got it? Who got it? like.